Joining us on WRCO's morning show this time is Deborah Cronmiller, who is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. We're going to learn about their organization just a little bit. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on here. And as we get ready for, we've got a couple of key dates coming up. In fact, we've got an election day in August and one in November as well. And I think the bottom thing that you want to say right now is you just encourage everybody to get out and vote, right?
Absolutely. For 104 years, the League has been trying to motivate and encourage and empower voters across the nation to exercise their responsibility and right to vote.
The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, kind of explain to us how that works.
Sure. Wisconsin is a state chapter of the National League of Women Voters. Each state has its own state chapter. Here in Wisconsin, we also have local affiliates. There are 22 different local chapters in the state of Wisconsin. Some states, larger states, have more local chapters. Some states, like Utah, only has 4 local chapters. So,
what are some key things that you try to, maybe instill in Wisconsin voters?
For the League, I think it's important that people understand how, where, and when to vote. Those of us who do voting work all year round, we're acutely aware of when the elections are, what questions are on the ballot, who the candidates are. But there are a lot of people who aren't as familiar with just the whole election process. And so getting information into the hands of voters about, what the dates of the elections are, what the key questions on the ballot are going to be. We try to educate voters about what the office holders in our respective elected positions are responsible to do. So we present what we call ballot bulletins and other informational pieces that, let people know, what does a governor do? What does a secretary of state do? What does an appellate court judge do? And so as people are voting and they see races that they might not be familiar with, what that office holder's responsible for, we're trying to get that information so they can make the right choice, a choice that aligns with their own personal values, and know where to get information about the candidates and what their values are.
Coming up, it's pretty important that we have you on. There's an August primary ballot, and there are a couple of state referendum questions that will appear. And would you be so kind to kind of maybe explain those and how you see it, Deborah?
Sure. The two questions that are going to be on the August ballot have to do with federal monies and who is going to allocate those monies in the state of Wisconsin. And then it also has to do with what I call the separation of powers between our branches of government. In our Constitution, we are very clearly defined what the governor does, what the legislature does, and then what our independent branch of government, the judiciary, does. In these particular constitutional amendments, the League is asking people to vote no on these questions because they're very vague with regard to who is going to be doing what and in what order things will happen in the state of Wisconsin having to do with federal monies. We had a webinar the other evening. You can find the link to that on our website. But we heard from people who work at the Department of Administration, who administers many federal grants, and we heard firsthand how very difficult it will be for the legislature to actually take over some of these responsibilities, not only in the case of emergency funds, what happened in the end of June in southern Wisconsin, tornadoes ran through, heavy rains, lots of flooding. So our governor was able to call out to the national FEMA and ask for emergency relief funds for the state of Wisconsin. It's unclear to us if these amendments were to pass, who would have the authority in the state of Wisconsin to request those funds? And that's very, very dangerous position to put Wisconsin's voters and citizens in, because you never do know when an emergency might hit your community. We certainly don't need any delays in getting emergency funds, you know, dispersed to the people who need them most at the time when they need them most.
So you're saying there'd be more red tape possibly to get through if indeed that it was, if it did pass as yes?
Yes. And the folks at the Department of Administration affirmed that to us. And I think, too, that the constitutional amendments are serious business. You know, amending our Constitution should not happen lightly. And though we have amended our Constitution over the centuries that it's existed, about 200 times, what the League has learned in our research about constitutional amendments and amending that very important document is that almost half of our constitutional amendments were to overturn an amendment that had previously been enacted. So it, in hindsight, you know, legislatures look at what they've done and say, oh, that's not so good for the people of Wisconsin. We should undo that. And our fear is that these hastily produced constitutional amendment questions may very well result in that same sort of, in hindsight, this isn't good for the state of Wisconsin.
Switching gears, Deborah, I know the League is encouraging people to get out and vote. And I saw something recently about where older Americans are engaged and kind of know what's going on and trying to make those decisions. But younger people are, you know, maybe just a little bit lethargic on this. So what does the League do to try and maybe educate and engage young people?
Yes, well, you're absolutely accurate. The younger demographic is typically the demographic of voters that are least likely to actually vote. But what we do know as an organization is that if you vote in the first election in which you are eligible to vote after you turn 18, you will be much more likely to be a lifelong voter. So our strategy is to get into the high schools, to make sure that we are having a robust civic education program in high schools across the state so that every student who turns 18 knows the importance of voting, knows where and how to find information about candidates and polling places, and how to even get involved with the election process as a new voter. And really ensure that every high schooler is registered to vote. You're much more likely to be a voter if you're registered to vote. Though Wisconsin does have same-day voter registration, which many states do not have, it makes it a little easier in Wisconsin if you're not registered to vote. But if you are registered in advance of the election, the likelihood that you will vote is much enhanced.
Do they still teach civics in high schools?
In some high schools, about 70% of high schools across the state do have some civics education embedded into their curriculum. Some have standalone civics courses still, but some teach it as part of their social studies program. And, you know, some have a robust civics education, and some have a couple of hours of civics education. DPI would actually like, the Department of Public Instruction, would actually like more school districts to have standardized civics education so that we would know exactly what our young people are learning and what the rigorousness of that curriculum would be. The League supports a strong civics education system in our education, and it's an important part of becoming a voter is really understanding civics, not just in one course in high school, but, you know, from the time you enter school as a kindergartner all the way through your graduation, you know, we should be talking about civics. We should be talking about participating in our communities, being a volunteer. You know, many schools actually have community service as part of their expectation for their students. And that just is to set the stage for being a good, productive adult member of your community.
Yeah, I think oftentimes, especially applying for scholarships, those community service hours and, you know, volunteering, that comes into play quite a bit, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the reasoning there by the higher education community is that young people who are engaged in their community are probably going to be better students and better able, more well-rounded, if you will, to succeed in higher education.
Let's talk about another topic that comes up often, and us in the media, we like to think that our local radio stations are pretty good about getting the right information out there, but how do we fight against misinformation in the media?
Well, there's lots of it, as you indicated. At the League, we actually have a dedicated staff person who watches for mis and disinformation and tries to alert our members that it is, in fact, false information and that we should not be, you know, accepting it as truth or accepting it as a valid. But not every person in the state has access to somebody who knows what's the difference between truths and falsehoods. And for the League, we've been doing, you know, not just in this election cycle, but in many election cycles through our history, we try to create what is truthful information for voters to understand. And so where to find out information about your polling place, what's on your ballot, how to use My Vote, how to request an absentee ballot, the security and integrity of absentee ballots and all ballots cast on election day. You know, these important messages need to get, you know, into everyone's mind, you know, so you're not susceptible when messaging comes that says, you know, our elections are fraught with fraud. It's like, that is false. There's very, very little documentation that suggests there's any fraud in elections. And oftentimes, like here in Wisconsin, the folks who have cast ballots that were not eligible to do so oftentimes did that as a mistake. You know, it's somebody who's been released from incarceration. Their voting rights haven't been reestablished yet because they maybe are still under supervision of the Department of Corrections. So they will have their rights restored when they're off of supervision. But DOC didn't make that very clear to them. They made a mistake. But it wasn't for the purpose of, you know, doing something fraudulent. It was just that. It was a mistake. And it happens. I mean, these are a handful of cases in, you know, in Wisconsin, in any state. This is not going to over, you know, 3.3 million ballots were cast in the spring election. You know, five mistaken voters are not going to overturn the results.
Certainly, redistricting has been in the news a lot lately. That kind of takes effect for the next election cycle, doesn't it?
That is absolutely accurate, and we're so excited. The League has been working for years with our partners in the Fair Maps Coalition and through our own initiative called People-Powered Fair Maps to get independently drawn maps in the state of Wisconsin. These maps, enacted by the legislature and the governor, are in fact maps that were proposed by the governor. They have removed, for all intents and purposes, the extreme partisan gerrymander that the state of Wisconsin has been under for the last decade and a half, frankly. So this election will be the first election in a long time for voters to actually cast a ballot that will be meaningful. And how I mean that is, in the extreme gerrymander, where a voter knows exactly how their district is going to go before the election even happens because of the gerrymander. So if, you know, you know that you're in a Democratic district, it's going to go Democratic. You know you're in a Republican district, it's going to go Republican. So maybe you've been sitting out. Maybe you've been on the sidelines of elections because you really thought, it doesn't matter if I go to vote or not. This election, it matters. We will have competitive races. We're seeing so many more primaries coming into the August election for our state races and the Assembly and the Senate. And this competitiveness, restoring the competitiveness of our elections, is a result of having these new fair maps. And we're just delighted to see so many people want to be involved in elections, in becoming an elected official that can represent the constituents of their district. For too many years, advocates have been almost without a voice. It didn't matter what we said because the elected officials were beholden to the party and to their donors, but not to the people who elected them. And now every elected official will be beholden to their constituents.
Well, I know they're all important, but it's pretty safe to say the upcoming November election could be one of the most important, if not the most important, in our lives, right?
Yeah, I think we say that every election cycle. You know? But the truth is, this November, there's a lot at stake. As we've been seeing and hearing in the media and in our private conversations with our family and friends and whatnot, our democracy has been battered of late. And this election is about what do we want in the way of a democratic system of governance in the United States. And, I'm excited about the proposition of, what November can mean. I'm excited that we're having competitive races. I'm excited that Wisconsin has been returned to a fair and hopefully the same kind of progressive state that we'd always been known for. And those are all very exciting components to a robust democracy. And the more people participate in our democracy, the more robust it will become.
Thanks for joining us, Deborah. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Deborah Kronmiller, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, on today's morning show.